Onto the Hallam weather check. It's 15.5 degrees centigrade, that's 60 Fahrenheit. The outlook is staying dry. David Roby, Radio Hallam News at 3.
Hi there, this is Cliff Richard, and it really is a great pleasure to wish Radio Hallam good luck and good sailing, because I've been to Sheffield so many times I can't remember, and I've really enjoyed the place, and I know that it's going to be even more enjoyable that I can go there next time and switch on Radio Hallam. So have a good, successful, long time, and we'll just play some of my records.
Imagine a still summer's day when nothing is moving, least of all me. I lay on my back in the hay. The warm sun was soothing. It made me feel good. The day I met Marie, the sound of her whispered hello came tiptoeing softly into my head. I opened my eyes kinda slow, and there she was smiling. Marie, with the laughing eyes, she tossed her hair and tantalized. She came to touch me, then she'd gone just like a summer breeze.
You were one of the first voices, in fact, on Hallam when we opened in October 1974. And here we are, 5 years later. We're just about to celebrate our fifth birthday. You've been in it slightly longer than that, haven't you, in the business?
Just slightly, yeah. 21 years. But, I mean, 5 years is fantastic, really. I mean, I feel as though I've been... I must have been here almost every year.
You have.
So I'm glad I'm here on your fifth year. May I wish you happy birthday to you.
I walk with a chill in the air. The warm sun no longer hung in the sky. I reached out, but she was not there. She'd gone where she came from, but I still feel good to think I've known Marie. With the laughing eyes, she'd toss her hair and tantalize. She came to touch me, then she'd gone just like a summer breeze.
Cliff Richard, spanning 5 years of Radio Hallam and 21 years of his career in singing. 21 years of my career in radio, as it happens as well. Well, enough of day one. Our first outside broadcast came on Wednesday, October the 2nd, when we commenced a series called A Pub With Some Cheer, broadcast each evening at 8 o'clock. First week, we visited the old Blue Bell in High Street, Sheffield, where the landlord was, and still is, Willis Osgathorpe. Does he remember that infamous visit of Radio Hallam?
I do remember seeing Roger Muffett, of all people, some two or three weeks before you opened. And I shall always remember this because he was leaned on the... Would that be the right way to think? Leaned on the bar, or leant on the bar, that's the better thing to say. And, of course, he turned round to me and said, do you know who I am? And, of course, I didn't know who he was, you see. And he said, well, I'm Roger Muffett. And, of course, I was still a little bit perplexed because, quite honestly, I'd never heard of Roger Muffett. Little did I know that we were going to hear a lot of Roger Muffett. And, of course, after quite a number of exchanges had been made, I realised that he was a very, very good guy. But, you know, he was in quite a lot before you started to broadcast. And, of course, he got the back up quite a lot of people because, you know, they couldn't quite get used to this type of Oxford accent, this wonderful accent which, of course, Roger put out. And, of course, I would like to say now that he has realised that he can't beat us, so he's joined us. So he's now a Yorkshire lad. Yes, I do remember this. I remember Derek, your engineer, coming in and saying, well, look, we've got to string all these wires across from Radio Hallam. Now, where shall we go? And believe it or not, do you know where we came from? We came through the gents' toilet window. We came right across the back of the pub, and we came right to the other end, into the corner of the front room. And of course, after all the wires had been strung across, then came the complex question of how are we going to get the customers over the wires? And of course, as you well know, the city centre pubs are always so packed at night that it is quite a problem. However, You all sat down right in the top of the room among all these array of switches and wires. The youngsters started to come in, and of course they themselves couldn't understand what was happening. We had this array of very important people, VIPs, yourself and Roger and Colin Slade, I think, was there, and Johnny Moran. And of course this was a situation which was quite unheard of in Sheffield. We'd never had this sort of thing happen to us. But of course all the youngsters eventually guess what was happening. They gathered round, and of course you played all the requests for them, and it went down very, very well indeed. Yes, Keith, I shall always remember that night. I shall always remember it for the complete upside downness of the whole night. But nevertheless, it was a wonderful introduction to Radio Hallam.
It's the final week of the great carpet mill sellout at Allied Carpets. There's just a few more days to pick up a quality carpet at half maker's list price. Only a few more days to take advantage of our £750,000 scoop purchase of Axminster's, Wilton's, Velvet Piles, Cords and Pattern Broadlooms with sellout prices from £2.99 to £7.99. But hurry while there's still a good selection, because at half price they're selling out fast. Don't miss the last days of the great carpet mill sellout at Allied Carpets, Furnival Gate, Sheffield and Duke Street, Doncaster.
Happy birthday to you, you're five! Happy birthday to you, you're five! Happy birthday, Radio Hallam! Happy birthday to you!
The tickets for the great Radio Hallam 5th birthday party starring the Pasadena Roof Orchestra and Gonzales are on sale now at our special birthday price. To you, my boy, only 50 pence. Available from the Top Rank Suite and Radio Hallam reception with a free Radio Hallam 5th birthday space poster for the first 500 sold. The great Radio Hallam 5th birthday party. Tickets only 50 pence.
Only love.
Quadrophenia. The music of a generation. Quadrophenia. The sensational soundtrack double album of the Who film. All the great Who tracks, plus the classics of the mod era, including Louie Louie, Green Onions, and A Do One Run. Four explosive sides. Quadrophenia. When you've got it, it'll bring it all back.
We rock more on 194.
And we rocked around Sheffield on other outside broadcast in 1974. We did a live lunch show from Wilco in the Haymarket from the Fiesta Club in downtown Sheffield. I went along to Tiffany's to meet the Alan Clark Big Band, and there was also a children's Christmas party at the Grosvenor Hotel. And whilst at the Grosvenor Hotel, we met up with Mr. Kenny Ball and his jazz man.
That was Rondo à la Turque by Mozart, played entirely without music, as you probably guessed. I have it on good authority, ladies and gentlemen, that when Mozart heard that Kenny Ball and his jazzmen were playing his music, he turned in his grave. Furthermore, he has never stopped since. Not for nothing is he known in heaven as Roly-Poly Mozart.
No, seriously. No, Roger, I've got the greatest respect for you. I'm just wondering where the hell can I be polite to you after all those wonderful remarks you made about my wonderful arrangement last song. You know, it's
was that your arrangement?
I arranged that specially for this programme.
The ink run.
Very nice.
Yeah, never mind.
Medley of songs. Off to four.
Why not take all of me? Whoa, can't you see? I'm no good without you. Take my heart, I'll never lose them. Love, love, love. Take my lips, I'll never use them. Oh, yeah, goodbye, goodbye. Left me with eyes, baby, that cry. Oh, how could I go on, dear, without about you. You took the part of baby that won't trust my heart, so why not take all of me?
Love with her. Lonely women confide in her. Angela Rippon.
Now she tells her own fascinating story in this week's Daily Mirror.
What happens behind the scenes?
What she thinks of her fans.
Her private life. Angela Rippon, another big name series in this week's Daily Mirror.
Plus, save money this week with a Mirror's great cost-cutter tokens when you shop at Currys.
And from Ireland, the best reports and pictures of the Pope's historic visit.
Don't miss this week's unbeatable Daily Mirror.
Get it tomorrow.
Come carpet buying at the B&C Co-op Castle House. It's the sure way to avoid making those expensive mistakes, because the B&C's professional advice is second to none, and so is their wide and wonderful range of carpets, in all qualities, to suit all pockets. They're the experts in kitchen floor coverings too, and of course offer a highly efficient fitting service. You can use your B&C shopper's card as well, or take advantage of the generous credit terms when you choose your next new carpet from the B&C Co-op Castle House.
Radio Hallam on a Sunday afternoon, the 30th of September 1979. It's 13 minutes past 3 o'clock and we're going back in time, tracing the 5 years' history of Radio Hallam. Obviously, we can't broadcast absolutely everything. Most of the programmes on Hallam are transmitted live and we don't pre-record too many. Periodically, we'll do a snoop tape, as they say, and get that on tape. For instance, one of the visitors to Radio Hallam in 1974 was singer Jack Jones.
Well, I started in a nightclub act with my father, who was still working Las Vegas at that time, and at the Thunderbird Hotel, which is one of our nicer hotels in Las Vegas. And I was just a part of his... he just brought me on as his son, who ran a tape recorder backstage for him, and his assistant, really. And then he admitted later that I was his son. And that's how it started, and he wanted to see if I liked the idea of being in show business, if I could take it, and of course I did, and then he said, all right, you know, because at first he didn't want me to be in show business at all. He thought it was a bad idea for me. And in some ways I know what he meant, because it's a rough life, and it's a kind of a lonely life. But it has its rewards, and you basically have to love music, so that's how I started.
And another international star to visit Radio Hallam in 1974 was Ray Stewart's greatest fan, Mr. Frankie Lane.
I was going to the Immaculate Conception Parish School, right across the street from where we lived in Chicago, and One day, when I was in the fourth grade, the priest who was in charge of the parish came around and went to the different grades and was trying to recruit altar boys to sing in the choir. And I volunteered, not for any reason that I know now, because you didn't have to, it wasn't mandatory. Nobody made you do it. It just, if you were interested in becoming an altar boy and also to sing in the choir, was like part of the job. And I loved it, and I learned how to sing all the hymns, and I enjoyed serving Mass. And the only thing I didn't like was getting up sometimes to serve 5:30 Mass. But then on Sunday when I sang in the choir, it was all like worthwhile. And that was really my first introduction to music. I would have to say that learning how to sing the church hymns and the hymns for the Mass and the different services was what really made me fall in love with music.
And talking on the subject of music, how many of you remember the record Rubber Ball, which was a hit in this country for Bobby V and Marty Wilde? Well, in 1974, Gene Pitney visited Radio Hallam and admitted he had never heard the Marty Wilde version. Had he, in fact, ever met Marty Wilde?
No, I haven't. Of course, I knew of him for a long time, and I just saw him doing an interview on television, which was very interesting. He looks like a very together man. It was one about himself and his family and his boy who was recording, I believe, right?
Indeed, yeah. Wilde Jr., Ricky Wilde.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Wilde came to the top of the charts. Well, he actually didn't reach the top. He got to position number 10 in this country on the 15th of January 1961, if you're interested, with this particular version, and put the earphones on.
It was 61.
Yeah.
Well, then it was right at the same time as Love My Life Away, because that was 61 as well.
And Bobby V, just if I can check my bit of useless information here, was on the 8th of January 1961, and that got even higher. That got to number 3. So the American record was more popular than the British one. But just for your ears, just for your benefit, Alex.
I also got paid for both of them.
You did? Yes. Of course you did, yes, as a writer, which can't be bad. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to Marty Wilde's version. Radio Helen there with Mr. Gene Pitney, who wrote the record Rubber Ball. He also wrote Hello Mary Lou for Mr. Rick Nelson. In fact, that song was first offered to Roy Orbison, and he turned down the offer to record it. Well, had, in fact, Roy Orbison turned down any other potential hits?
Yes, I have. The first song that was presented to me that I turned down was a song called Tragedy by Wayne Thomas, I think. And that was when I was with RCA. And Chet Atkins played it for me, and I didn't think it was that good. And so they proceeded to release the dub, the actual thing that they presented to me, and it went straight to number one. So then Budlow Bryant sang a song for me called Let's Think About Living, and I didn't think it was for me. And
that was done by Bob Luman?
Bob Luman, yeah. That's right.
Uh-huh.
And in that case, Keith, it actually wasn't for me. I don't think I could have done as good a job as Bob Luman did. It was something that I didn't think that I would, that I felt. And so I turned that song down. Now, I turned Hello Mary Lou down, but I beat it to number one with Running Scared, so awesome. That was very good.
Looking for a new carpet can be a bewildering experience. There are so many different colors and patterns to choose from. You cannot go by appearance alone. You want value for money. You expect a high standard, the kind of standard set by the big red A for Acrylan. Acrylan carpets are always made to strictly control its quality and performance standards. Acrylan carpets are easy to care for and hard-wearing to stand the test of time. When you're buying a new carpet, you expect a high standard. So insist on the standard set by Acrylan.
Now let's sing in praise of the prices and huge stocks of Acrylan and other carpets, many for fitting within 24 hours at the Carpet Centre, the new shopping centre, Eckington, open till 8 Fridays and all day Saturday. And don't forget their carpet fitting service, it's absolutely free.
Take it away! I'm bored with roast peacock.
My lord, methinks a lark's tongue will tempt thee, or grilled swan's wings perchance.
No, woman! All at once a man hath a feeling, an urge there can be no concealing. What taketh my fancy is something that hath an exquisite taste and delicate beauty no man can resist.
Oh, my lord.
Verily, I fancy some Walker's crisps.
Meanwhile, as they say, back at Hallamland, the Baron Knights joined Roger Moffat for the first time in 1974... on a sort of chat-in reminiscing-type programme when Roger was famous on television. He was, incidentally, the very first television announcer to swear in front of 20 million viewers way back in the 1950s. As Martin Kellner would say, 1979, if you don't like a naughty word, we suggest you switch off, but please rejoin us in 2 minutes and 9 seconds from...
No, you were comparing an NDO show. It was a weekly thing, wasn't it? It was the first
very weakly. Some of them were.
It was the first bloody I ever witnessed on TV. And that's
That was rather unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
Was it unfortunate, though?
It was, yes.
Well, it obviously started a trend.
I lost. Yeah, it's quite a popular word these days.
Yes.
Nobody turns a hair if you say it now.
But at the time we went, and...
So did I. It's a good job it wasn't colour television, because I went as white as a sheet, because it was a live television thing. They don't have live things very much now, except the news. It was a live programme, and we were overrunning slightly. And the floor manager gave me a kind of wind-up signal, you know, and people can't see what I'm doing, but they kind of wave, you know, as in a circle, quicker and quicker to make you get on with it. Now, the cameras were only taking me from my waist upwards. I just nodded, I just twiddled my fingers out of camera shot to the floor manager, who was crawling across the floor to me. And he didn't notice, so he started tugging at my trousers, trying to attract my attention. I hadn't got a belt on, and I could feel them slipping. So I looked down and said, "I can see the bloody clock!" And the studio went dead. You could have heard a pin drop in it. I said, "Well, your compere next week will be..."
But it did hit the headlines, didn't it?
I think
you even made the Times newspaper.
I don't remember the offshoot of it. I just remembered it actually happening.
No, within about 10 minutes outside the studio was every photographer and reporter from everything from Chick's Own to the Daily Worker or the Morning Star.
But what's happened since?
And they wouldn't print some of them. The Times wouldn't print the word I'd
it
said.
Certain
just
words.
It just said. No, some of them put B, bzz, d, 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 Y. The Times said BBC uses that Pygmalion word.
Thank you very much indeed, the Baron Knights. And whilst on the subject of name-dropping, how about a 1979 happy birthday jingle, lads?
Happy birthday to you, Radio Hallam and crew. All the Baron Knights are wishing happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much indeed. The Four Tops came to Hallam in 1974, and I asked them if they'd ever sort of get fed up when they go on stage and doing a routine, especially of the Tamla Motown era.
Keith, we never get fed up with your routine. We only get fed up if there's no one in the audience to play to, or if there's no applause after the song. And of course, you mentioned about doing tunes from the Motown era, which to us was one of the most beautiful part of our lives. In the States, of course, we don't do as many of the mid-60 tunes that we did from the Tamla Motown things as we do now. But here in England, this is the Four Tops. This is the Four Tops sound, and we're very proud of it, and we enjoy doing that. But of course, sometimes we have to do tunes that we haven't done in a long time, and for the first instant, we might feel a little awkward doing them, but once we're into the tune and we see the reaction, well, it's just like... It's as if we just first did it. We're the type that, you know, we just enjoy doing what we do. We feel that we're very lucky to be in a type of profession that you can make a good living doing what you enjoy doing and getting the rewards as well. You know, so to us, it's just tremendous.
On the 28th of November 1978, along with some Hallam engineers, I had a pretty busy evening. Hallam completed two outside broadcasts within 6 hours. First, on the occasion of the switch-on of the Sheffield Christmas illuminations from the steps of the City Hall. We switched on. It makes good radio.
Sheffield's Christmas illuminations were first switched on December the 9th, way back in 1961. The route of the display is from the Haymarket to the bottom of the Moor, one of the focal points being centred around the Town Hall, which is in view of where I'm standing now on the steps of the City Hall, just about 300 or 400 yards away. On the 9th of December 1961, I'm told it was a Saturday, cars were bumper to bumper on the display route, and it was a similar case for many nights after, and coach parties were arranged from as far away as Nottingham and Lincoln. Now, in more recent years, people from many seaside resorts such as Scarborough and Cleethorpes on the east coast and Blackpool and Morecambe on the west have flocked to Sheffield to see our illuminations. I should think there's absolutely no chance at all of getting any suntan, but anyway, we are here in Sheffield indeed a showcase of the north. Of course, it cost quite a lot of money to put on a display such as this year. Looking back, say, to 1961, it cost the Sheffield Illuminations Committee and City Council just over £10,000. This year, the expenditure will be nearly £24,000. However, each year has seen a bigger and better display than ever before. The illuminations themselves are really aimed at providing enjoyment for citizens and non-citizens, children and old-age pensioners, as well as adding to the spending boom at this festive time of the year. The shopkeepers regularly anticipate a vast increase in their profits because of the number of people that are attracted by the Sheffield lights.
From the City Hall, a quick drive to Netheredge for our second outside broadcast in one evening. From Turnup's Night Spot, we meet up with Tony Wilkinson, who was the first manager there.
I think from the outset, we should say that this is a different night spot completely from what we have in Sheffield now.
And what, in fact, is the purpose of this now? We're all gathered here. There are, I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred guests, but you're officially opening tomorrow, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, you've got to be a member to come in here.
Yes, it is membership only as of from tomorrow night.
How many members would you think would be a reasonable number? 500, 1,000, 2,000?
I don't think one can ever put a limit on membership because one man might become a member and in fact only pay us a visit once every 2 months, 3 months. So it would be very difficult to put a ceiling on membership.
And how are you going to be completely different from, say, other night spots within the Sheffield area?
Because I think we hope to obtain here a certain amount of intimacy, which I feel is somewhat lacking in certain night spots up and down the country.
One man left a gift to the human heart and proved that a single dream is more powerful than a thousand realities. His name is J.R.R. Tolkien. His dream, his masterwork, The Lord of the Rings. And now United Artists and Fantasy Films bring this colossal epic to life in a motion picture fantasy beyond imagination. The Lord of the Rings.
Now showing at the Gaumont, Sheffield.
There's a hard day's work ahead of you, and it's time to be moving on. When you're giving it all you've got through a working day, there's a thick milk chocolate bar to help you on your way. Bite on Yorkie, Roundtree's Yorkie.
Gotta keep moving on.
There are 6 solid chunks of Roundtree's milk chocolate in Yorkie. Good, thick chocolate in a big, chunky shape.
Thanks to Yorkie, chunky Yorkie. Keep moving on.
1974 is the year. Let's catch up with some of the news headlines from that year.
1974 was the year of the great debate on whether trams would return to Sheffield city centre.
but what the designers had in mind was very different from the old-time trams which last ran in Sheffield in the early 60s. They were thinking of a monorail, which would run on stilts, or a kind of Disneyland street train. 1974 ended with an exhibition of models, plans and pictures of the proposed mini-tram scheme in a city centre store. It was visited by 20,000 people. Many took the opportunity to register their views by filling in official comment cards. Most were against the plans, especially the monorail, because of the way it would disfigure the city centre. In the end, the idea was shelved, but it wasn't just the weight of public opinion which stopped it. For 1974 was the beginning of the end for Grand Council schemes. From now on, things would be tight, and tighter still, as cutbacks in spending began to bite.
From time to time, we, as presenters on Hallam, have made attempts at doing commercials that you actually hear on the radio. But we'll let you into a little secret about our advertisements and pre-recordings. Announcers sometimes have difficulty in trying to explain themselves coherently. Sometimes the teeth don't work properly. We'll give you a couple of examples.
Radio gets to ya.
After 25 hours of meetings with staff and residents, the committee came to the conclusion that, at worst, members of staff were deliberately trying to get the matron sacked or undermine her excuse me, got a frog in the throat.
You're tuned to Radio Hallam.
And finally, there are six independents standing in Chesterfield, two in Barrow Hill, two in Lowgate and Woodthorpe, one at Middlecroft, one in Old Whittington, and one in St Helens Ward, which adds up to seven. Barrow Hill. Go on.
Oh, dear.
Although shelves are being cleared. Two or three other effects.
On day one of the conference on Monday, Joe Gormley, the president of the union, made a plea for compromise. Negotiation, he said, was a...
You're tuned to Radio Hallam!
In this kind of situation where... it's very delicate. How do your men sort of react? What kind of reaction do they get? What kind of reaction do your men get?
So there we are, just a few of the faux pas. We call them bloopers in the business, and we'll be having more from the various years, 1974, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, as we go along. What I was going to do now is to spin in quite a number of hit records from the year 1974. Can you cast your mind back to some of those records, like Kung Fu Fighting, Annie's Song, The Streets of London? Well, let's give you a couple of examples.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
You fill up my senses like a night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again.
The finest cheers I have been new. All the years I have with you, and I would give anything I own. Give up my life, my heart, my own.
So how can you tell me that you're lonely? You say for you that the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind.
montage of songs from the year 1974. Before we leave that particular year and get on, because the programme is it's only 6 hours, I suddenly realise it's now 25 to 4, I'm still on 1974. Get a move on, Skills! Before we leave 74, can Bill McDonald, chief executive of Radio Hallam, remember the first 18 hours output from Radio Hallam on its first day, October the 1st, 1974?
I can't say that I remember the end of Hallam's first day of broadcasting all that clearly, to give you my thoughts at that moment. Not because I'd drunk too much in celebration. No, it's just that the day passed in a blur of tired limbs and senses after more than 30 hours awake. I can remember the minutes up to HR at 6 a.m. very vividly. The tenseness, the cables all over the floor, the unfinished building work, the fading of the IBA test tape and the sounds of the first Hallam tape, specially made for the occasion by Mike Rouse, featuring footsteps and his voice, Radio Hallam is on the air. The chief executive, me, should get the same sort of sensation as a pilot when his plane achieves that magic sensation of liftoff, when the critical speed is reached along the runway. I didn't. I just breathed a sigh of enormous satisfaction at 6 p.m. that the station was still going after 12 hours on air, despite a hiccup or two in the morning. I'd never doubted that Hallam would be a success. My radio experience had been in America, where I'd seen and heard the essential part that local radio played in the life of every city on that continent. How could it fail, I asked myself, if we provided a highly competent, professional service tailored to the special needs of this area? A blend of relevant information and companionship provided by skilled, experienced broadcasters. We were criticized for that approach, incidentally. Some people would sooner have had us foist amateur community groups bent on tub-thumping their own minute parochial issues. But it's real people we're interested in, and they responded immediately to the Hallam style of broadcasting and have gone on doing so every year ever since. We'd come from all over the British Isles and from overseas to provide that blend of professional, relevant broadcasting service that Hallam's board of directors instructed us to provide. For a lad from Sussex, business trained in America, South Yorkshire has been a very happy homecoming for me, because I've been looking for this all my life.
The most popular record of 1974, David Essex.
David Essex on the Keith Skews Show on Radio Hallam.
I'm gonna make you a star, yeah, 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 yeah.
Gonna Make You a Star for Mr. David Essex. And ladies and gentlemen, that was 1974. Let's move on to 75, and for South Yorkshire, it was certainly a royal year with visits from Her Majesty the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh, and later in the year, Prince Charles. The Queen opened the new police headquarters at Snig Hill on the 29th of July 1975. Later, she attended a banquet at the Cutler's Hall, as well as doing a walkabout in Fargate and visiting other parts of South Yorkshire. We catch up with the broadcast Radio Hallam did from the Midland Station as the Queen and the Duke prepare to say goodbye to Sheffield.
This is Radio Hallam on 194 metres medium wave, and we go live down to the Midland Station in Sheffield enjoying Keith Skews.
Thank you very much, Ray. Live from Platform 1 at Sheffield Midland Station, Her Majesty the Queen has just pulled up outside, and we are now actually on the platform, and at the amazing vantage point, we have Roger Moffat, who's literally standing as Her Majesty will go into the royal train for this evening, and then, of course, tomorrow another busy day ahead of her. I should be visiting a colliery. We'll hand over now to Roger to greet Her Majesty as she comes through the barrier here at Sheffield Midland Station.
And the crowds, even at, what is it, just after 11 o'clock, and here comes Her Majesty, accompanied by the Lord Lieutenant of South Yorkshire, Mr. Gerard Young. The Queen is looking, the word is over and over again. It's used over and over again. She looks really resplendent with her tiara and her pale blue dress slashed with yellow. She's now taking her leave of the Lord Lieutenant of South Yorkshire, Mr. Gerard Young, the Chairman of South Yorkshire County Council, Councillor Ted Jones, the Chief Executive of South Yorkshire County Council, Tony Mallett. Her Majesty now enters the royal train with a smile and a wave, followed by the Duke of Edinburgh. Already in the train, her lady-in-waiting, Honourable Mary Morrison, Mr. Heseltine, her Assistant Private Secretary. Somebody's just dashed past me with a shovel. I'm not quite sure he's the engine driver who they nicked out of the bar, I'm not sure. Her Majesty comes back to the door of the coach. The Duke of Edinburgh now peers out of the carriage, rather as if he'd left his ticket at home or something or that. They both look out at the train. That is a sight which I have never seen in all the years I've covered royal broadcasts. The Queen with her tiara, not only smiling, but grinning. And the Duke of Edinburgh looking out as if to say, don't forget to write to Auntie or something. It really is one of those things. Send us a postcard when you get back. He is saying something to... This really is a royal occasion. It almost looks as if they don't want to go. I've often said in the past, if only you could see this. But if only you really could see this. I don't think they're going, I think they're coming back to stay. Duke of Edinburgh, leaning out of the carriage window, some very official gentleman is waving what you might call a green flag for the train to leave, but it's not. The Duke of Edinburgh looks so friendly that if we had enough cable, I think we'd go up and say, did you enjoy yourself, Your Royal Highness? If they didn't, they're the most brilliant actors in the world. And now the train moves off. Her Majesty and the Duke of Edinburgh waving goodbye to Sheffield.
It's the final week of the great carpet mill sellout at Allied Carpets. There's just a few more days to pick up a quality carpet at half maker's list price. Only a few more days to take advantage of our £750,000 scoop purchase of Axminster's, Wilton's, Velvet Piles, Cords and Pattern Broadlooms with sellout prices from £2.99 to £7.99. But hurry while there's still a good selection, because at half price they're selling out fast. Don't miss the last days of the great carpet mill sellout at Allied Carpets, Furnival Gate, Sheffield and Duke Street, Doncaster.
Men fall in love with her. Lonely women confide in her. Angela Rippon.
Now she tells her own fascinating story in this week's Daily Mirror.
What happens behind the scenes?
What she thinks of her fans.
Her private life. Angela Rippon, another big name series in this week's Daily Mirror.
Plus, save money this week with a Mirror's great cost-cutter tokens when you shop at Currys.
And from Ireland, the best reports and pictures of the Pope's historic visit.
Don't miss this week's unbeatable Daily Mirror.
Get it tomorrow.
On the 18th of December 1975, His Royal Highness Prince Charles was the guest of honour at a Variety Club luncheon at the Cutlers Hall in Sheffield, and Radio Hallam was there for a live outside broadcast.
Mr. Chairman, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, pray silence for His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales.
Chairman, Lord Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, I take a long time to rise because it sustains the applause, which is exactly what I need. I must first of all thank the Lord Mayor for his very kind presentation of this book of Sheffield, which is the first book I've ever seen made in steel. It's actually printed in steel as well, which is quite something. And I shall treasure it, although no doubt it'll destroy my knees if I try and rest it on it on my knees at any stage. It's very heavy indeed. Thank you very much. The chairman of the Variety Club here has made an allusion to my age, which is beginning to worry me enormously. I do feel that I'm rapidly getting too old to make any more speeches. And it was brought home to me the other day when I went to a reception at Buckingham Palace given for the Australian rugby touring team. And to my horror, while talking to them, I discovered that the average age of the team was 24. And this began to horrify me, to say the least. And I'm also rather worrying about the state of my chin, because as I get older, things develop, and it is rather worrying. And it was particularly worrying when I came back from Canada this year, as I'd attempted to grow a bit of a beard. I'd only had 3 weeks to do it in, so when I got back, the Queen told me to take it off instantly. However, I was even more appalled when I read in the newspaper, one of the more popular newspapers, I think it was, that they'd interviewed certain ladies in the streets of London and had asked them what they thought about my beard. And one of them had said, "Oh, I think his beard's lovely," she said. "At least it hides his weak chin." So if any of you can think of strengthening exercises for chins, do let me know. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it was Sir Winston Churchill who once spoke about after lunch or after dinner speaking, there'd been two things which are worse than doing this. And one was trying to scale a 6-foot wall leaning towards you. And the other was trying to kiss a 6-foot woman leaning away from you. Most of my staff have heard this before, so they're getting fed up with it. But speaking in my capacity of having tried to kiss 6-foot women, I wouldn't try it earlier. I'm delighted to be able to come to Cutler's Hall on this occasion because I've never been to Sheffield before. You may be surprised to hear. But it is an enormous pleasure, and I'm delighted to have a chance to see where England's glory is founded. Because I don't know whether you read recently in the papers, which I did, that somebody in another part of the world had referred to a gentleman in politics as being a cutlery man. And he was a cutlery man, apparently, because he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He spoke with a forked tongue, and he knifed people in the back. But you may be glad to know, or at least the master cutler and the mistress cutler may be glad to know that I have noticed that all the knives at Buckingham Palace do have Made in Sheffield on them, so there's no need to worry. We're thinking of having them sent to the Middle East to be refurbished, but that's beside the point. They do a great job with camels, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, I have had two fairly hectic days in the northeast of England in the just recently. And yesterday I spent the whole day visiting mostly factories in and around Leeds. I had no idea what an enormously industrialized part of the world it was, but it was most intriguing, and it wasn't altogether profitless as far as I was concerned. At one factory, I picked up a mounted turbine blade, a very useful thing to have, in case you run out of the way. In case you run out of turbine blades, which I was frequently doing. At another place, I was given a box of fishing flies by... I think it was the Mintex Corporation of Scandura. They make brake linings and things like that. So, and they also make asbestos conveyor belts for coal mines and things like that. So as far as I can make out, they're the only asbestos woven flies yet known to man. And finally, and in conclusion, I picked up two marvelous rolls of mohair suiting, which was extremely well valued and is going to keep my tailor in business for at least another 2 years. And by God, he needs the business, I can tell you. But while I've been in Sheffield, I've been to a most interesting spastic center, which I found very encouraging. I think it was marvelous what has been done and is being done at this particular center to enable handicapped people to lead as normal a life as possible, to do a job and to do a useful job, and to see that the rewards of their labors going to the industries in this part of the country. And I went to a school for the deaf, which was also fascinating. And it does make one realize, I think, how lucky we are, those of us who are not deaf or handicapped in one way or another. And I'm enormously impressed by the way in which the teachers and instructors and helpers operate in these places. They're veritable angels, and we should all be very grateful that there are such people like that around. And I've just come from the Department of Psychology at Sheffield University, which I don't know whether any of you have visited, but it's brand new, and for some curious reason has only just been going for 3 weeks. Normally, when I'm asked to open a building, it's been going for about 2 years already. I went to open a police college the other day in Wales, which had been open for a year. And so I said, I now declare this building shut. Trouble was, they didn't see the funny side of it. But in the Department of Psychology, I think my behavior was studied, which would be a great eye-opener as far as they're concerned. And I also went into a small room where there were several ladies doing some peculiar form of study. I'm not quite sure what it was. But they kept on talking about synchronization of body responses. And I wouldn't have minded that at all, I must say. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say once again what a great pleasure it has been coming to Sheffield. And I'm enormously grateful, as I said. And I look forward to coming back in 100 years when they have found the secret of eternal youth.
Highness Prince Charles at the Cutlers Hall in 1975, and we'll be back with more memories of that year after the news.
Hello, Tony Capstick here. I've just popped in to tell you about a week of concerts to be held in the Big Top Theatre in Norfolk Park, starting on Sunday, October the 21st. Now, just listen to this. We've got Tom Paxton, Barbara Dixon, Chet Atkins. We've also got George Melly, Humphrey Littleton, rock violinist Darrell Way with a big orchestra. We've Caribbean and Asian music, Jesus Rock, and a brass band special. You can get the tickets now from the Crucible Theatre. It's nice here, isn't it? Which one's Roger?
He's on holiday.
Here, cool down.
Thanks. Whew.
Set for college, then?
Yeah, my grant's okay, so I opened an account at Lloyd's Bank. What are you going to do?
Dunno. There's a bank round the corner, that'll do.
Oh, come on.
Well, what's so special about Lloyd's?
They're giving new students 50% off student rail cards or a £4 book token and a free cash point card and free banking if you stay in credit.
Do they have cashiers like you?
Discover the best reasons ever for new students to open an account at Lloyd's Bank. Ask at your nearest branch.
David Roby with Radio Hallam News. The Pope has arrived at the Little...